I almost think there should be a user's guide for the show. We're back in middays, but things have been juggled around a little bit. So every day at 2 o'clock, all the highlights from the day, all of the news from the day that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet. Radio Tinder is kind of goof around segment. That's at 2:40. Lindsay throws us some stuff. And then Game of Games is at 3:40, where we compete head-to-head stupid games that we come up with. So that's sort of the schedule for the day, and we'll let you know Dave McMenamin is coming up for you in 10 minutes. All right, John. Charlotte Hornets have suspended radio broadcaster John Falk indefinitely after he used a racial slur in a tweet about Monday night's playoff game between the Nuggets and the Jazz. Falk used the N-word instead of Nuggets in the tweet, which was later deleted. He apologized in a later tweet. He says, quote, "Earlier today, I made a horrific error while attempting to tweet about the Denver-Utah game. I don't know how I mistyped. I had and have no intention of ever using that word. I take full responsibility for my actions. I've been sick to my stomach about it ever since. I'm truly sorry that this happened, and I apologize to those I offended." The Hornets said they are investigating the matter while he is suspended. John, should John Falk lose his job? First of all, I'm assuming you know him. Should he lose his job?
I don't know him. He was in his first year this year, so I haven't met him. I'll just speak for myself. If any of the broadcasters I work with on the team I work for did that, they would no longer have a job.
Yes.
I don't know what the Hornets are going to do. I feel bad if this was an honest mistake, but that's a line you just can't cross. Our league is very, very, very politically active in this particular area. The whole league, it's at Mace. If you watch the playoffs today, it says Black Lives Matter
yeah.
in big, bold letters across the court. I don't know how you can keep him. Do you?
No, I think he's done. And you know, I don't know the guy, obviously. You don't know the guy. But I just don't think that word magically appears on your keyboard.
Well, somebody suggested to me that it would have to have been in his spell check. I don't know if this is accurate or not. But if his phone spell checked to that word, then that word had to have appeared on that particular phone before.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, that should not be auto. That should not be spell checked, that word.
Right.
That word.
I know. I've never typed it, so I would hope my phone wouldn't spell check to it.
Yeah, me either. But I'm afraid he's done there. He's done there. You can't come back.
Yeah,
from
unfortunately, you know, I hate cancel culture. I hate canceling people, but in this particular area, that's probably the most sensitive thing in the NBA right now is the Black Lives Matter movement and how strongly the players feel about that. So I don't know how that guy can survive.
John?
Okay, Mace, according to Austin Karp from Sports Business Journal, last Tuesday's premiere of Hard Knocks featuring the Rams and Chargers averaged 273,000 viewers on TV. That's the lowest figure for a Hard Knocks episode ever. Last year, episode one for the Raiders averaged 705,000 on TV, more than double the number from last Tuesday. Now, I've seen every episode of Hard Knocks ever, including last Tuesday, which I thought was pretty good. Where did the Hard Knocks audience go?
It's a fair question. I think one of the issues is there is no direct focus on one team. I think it feels scattered that they're trying to cover two teams on this thing. I think the biggest thing is that if you tuned into Hard Knocks like I did, it was mostly an infomercial about how to deal with COVID. And it was a little, there wasn't a lot of football in that. Was there any football? Barely any football.
Yeah, there's
in that Hard Knocks episode.
Jared Goff and Sean McVay on the field running some offensive play drills. But that was it. You know,
but I mean, for the most part, it was a public service announcement for how to deal with COVID. So I think that's the main reason. I don't know if anybody's head is necessarily in football yet. I think splitting it between two teams sort of splits whatever fan bases there are. And I think there's just too much COVID on it. What do you think?
You don't think there's enough football? I just don't think anybody is back into sports yet. sports is starting up right now, and I think it's – but nobody knows if we're going to play football. I think we're going to.
I do, too.
I think the NFL is going to play. I think some of those – I think Alabama's going to play. I think some of those colleges are going to play. But because people aren't dialed into that yet, I don't think they're looking for football content. Matter of fact, had you not mentioned on the air – that Hard Knocks started last Tuesday, I probably wouldn't have known.
Yeah, me either. I mean, they gave me something to read. I was like, really? Hard Knocks starts next week? That seems really fast.
Yeah, so maybe it'll go. Maybe the numbers will go up tonight.
Yeah, we will find out. John, Tiger Woods, his son, Charlie, is turning into a hell of a golfer. Charlie Woods posted a super low score of 3-under-33 in a nine-hole event on August 9th at Hammock Creek Golf Club in Florida, winning the whole thing by five strokes. Charlie carded three birdies, no bogeys in the round. It wasn't like the course was a cakewalk. The scoreboard showed six of the nine holes were 300 yards or longer. John, is following in your father's footsteps ever a really good idea?
Sometimes. Look at Clay Thompson.
Sure.
He's Michael 2.0. Michael will kill me for saying this, but Clay's a much better, more accomplished player than Michael ever was.
Yeah.
And Clay has a chance to go to the Hall of Fame.
There are lots of examples of this.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah. Outside sports, Michael Douglas and Kirk Douglas. I mean, there are instances where it worked. I just think it's funny. I have put out podcasts with O'Shea Jackson Jr. and Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah, both those guys are good examples.
Both guys are juniors. And, you know, like Shea says, the letters J and R are really, really difficult to wear. So I think it's tough. I think you can be successful, but to follow in the shoes of the greatest golfer in the history of the game, maybe aside from Jack Nicklaus, is a really tough road for Charlie Woods, but good for him. He's out there playing.
All right. So you knew this was coming.
My
phone is blowing up. Hey, WTF. And he writes, "What the fudge? I've won four rings and he's got three." This is Michael. Two as a player and two as a talker. First of all, you don't get credit for the two you won as a talker.
No.
Clay has won more rings than you. His three are more than your two. That's Bahamian math you're using.
Wait a minute. Michael thinks he should get credit for the rings he got while he was the
analyst? Yes.
Oh, no. No, that doesn't count.
Yeah, sorry, Mike.
That does not count. Sorry, Michael. Sorry. All right, Ireland, it's to you.
Okay, Mace. Because of the coronavirus postponements, the St. Louis Cardinals began a stretch on Saturday that seems almost impossible. The Cardinals are scheduled to play 53 games in 44 days. So think about that. 53 games.
That's crazy.
44 days. It includes 10 doubleheaders.
Whew.
They got in a doubleheader on Saturday, played a single game on Sunday, then got in two more yesterday. They're playing one today. How many of these 53 games do you think the Cardinals actually end up playing? If you were a Vegas bookmaker, what would you set the over-under number at for how many of those 53 and 44 days get played?
I'm going to be an optimist. Let me look at the standings. Do you know where they are right now?
I know the Cubs are running away with it.
Okay, because I think it matters if you've got a chance to make the playoffs. And I think the Cardinals will be there. I think they are going to play those games, John.
Here's the funny thing. I completely agree with you. I think that I would set the over-under at 52.
Yeah.
I think that they're going to get – I can see them missing maybe one game for a rainout, but if they do, they'll just tack in another doubleheader.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're in August. It's not going to – they're not going to lose that many games to weather. Our big worry is if we set the number at 52 – is another coronavirus outbreak. That would kneecap it. But
that's by the way, John, I am fully in favor of, and I wish baseball would, or maybe they already are, investigating the concept of a bubble for the playoffs. It would make an awful lot of sense for Major League Baseball.
They're absolutely investigating that, and I think it's likely it could happen.
All right.
You want to do one more? You got one more?
Yeah, I got one more here.
Okay.
Eric Carabel, fantasy football writer for ESPN, has put out his first top 250 ranks for the season. So, John, I'm going to ask you, and you can get the help of Jorge and Lindsay here, to come up with all 10 of the top 10, and you're allowed to confer, and three strikes and you're out.
Okay, so Lindsay, I think Christian McCaffrey has got to be there, right? That's going to be somewhere in Jorge, you agree? That Christian McCaffrey is got to be there?
Sure.
Okay, Christian Mace, we're going Christian McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey is number one. He is going to be on my team, by the way. I have the first round pick in our draft.
Oh, that's probably true. Okay.
Probably Zeke, right? Zeke's always in the top 10.
Except top 10. I'm thinking quarterback's got to be coming.
Nobody drafts quarterbacks in the top 10.
Okay, what about Michael Thomas?
Michael Thomas is number 5. You've got two of them.
Okay.
So I think we should guess Zeke and Saquon for sure. They're definitely top 5.
Okay, we'll do both those, Zeke and Saquon.
Saquon number 2 and Zeke number 4. So you've now officially got the top 5. Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, gave away one there. And 5, Michael Thomas.
I didn't hear which one.
Number
say?
4?
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook.
Cook. Yeah, I blew that one.
All right, Mace, are there any quarterbacks there?
No quarterbacks.
Okay, so no.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4 wide receivers and 1 running back.
Lindsay, who else is in the wide receivers?
Trying to think. I mean, Michael Thomas is the only one I would think would be in the top 10.
Think about the guy that just got traded.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep, he's number 6. Think about the guy who's been there.
Terrible analysis.
Been there forever.
Julio.
Julio is number 7, yep. Number 8, guy who just got to the Super Bowl last year.
No.
Wide receiver.
Oh, Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill, yes. Mm. Number 9, Green Bay wide receiver, Adams.
Adams.
And number 10 is Alvin Kamara from the Saints.
Oh, that's good.
Well, he isn't at number 10. He should be top 5, too.
All right. I'll tell you what. Why don't you and Eric Carabell have a private conversation about this?
Sounds good. I'll do that.
You and Eric get together. Put your heads together and figure it out. All right. Coming up next for you. Dave McMenamin is going to join us. He's down at the bubble. He'll be at the game tonight. We'll get into that coming up next for you. Don't forget, we got Blazers versus Lakers game 1.
Oh.
4 o'clock is pregame and 6 o'clock is tip. John Ireland, Michael Thompson on the call.
Mace, and maybe you already mentioned this, but based on what we were talking about before, the pitcher who threw at Machado, how do you pronounce it?
Gabo I'm going. Yeah.
Has been suspended, and so has Chris Woodward.
Yes.
One game, both of them.
Gabo actually got 3 games.
Oh, did he? Oh, Woodward got the 1.
Yeah. And by the way, and Dave Roberts asked an interesting question. If Gabo throws at Manny Machado and gets 3 games, why was Joe Kelly suspended for 8?
Yep. It turned out to be 5. They cut it down to 5.
Yeah, they did cut it down to 5. All right. Coming up next for you, Dave McMenamin's going to join us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland tonight. Lakers start their march to an NBA championship with a first-round matchup against the Portland Trail Blazers. Pregame coming up for you at 4 o'clock. Blazers got hot during their seeding games to overtake Memphis for the 8th. They went 6-2. Damian Lillard averaged 51 over the last 3 seeding games. Blazers will be without Zach Collins, who was one of the bigs that Terry Stotts might have thrown at AD when he was looking for a double team. Meanwhile, Lakers continue to play without Avery Bradley, who was the best Lakers perimeter defender. He couldn't stop Dame, but he certainly could have helped to slow him down. It should be a fascinating matchup tonight in the bubble in Orlando.
And there's a lot of strategic questions for both coaches.
Strategery.
Right. To try and figure out. For example, if you're Portland, who guards LeBron? You mentioned earlier, Mace, that AD, they're just going to throw big bodies at and probably double him every time he gets the ball. But they really have no matchup for LeBron. Trevor Ariza was the guy who covered
yep.
LeBron the most in the three regular season games. And Ariza is not in the bubble. He opted out of the bubble. As Mason calls him, Skinny Mello.
Skinny Mello!
Carmelo Anthony is probably going to draw the man-to-man assignment on LeBron just out of necessity. They really don't have anybody else that matches LeBron size-wise.
They might ultimately wind up with some of Gary Trent Jr. on him too, right?
Well, or if they – it'll be interesting to see who they start in place of Zach Collins. Because Zach Collins was starting in the bubble. You mentioned he's out tonight. He was hurt. If they start the rookie Wenyen Gabriel, Gabriel's 6'9". So he's the same height as LeBron. But, you know, LeBron could probably – he's a rookie. LeBron could probably torch him.
Will Hassan Whiteside be in the starting lineup, given that they're going to throw a couple of guys at AD?
I don't think so.
No?
Because both him and Nurkic are centers.
Right.
And so I don't know if they start two centers, although you could argue that the Lakers do. The
sure.
Lakers start Anthony Davis and JaVale McGee.
Yep.
So maybe they
yep.
do that to try and match up. But my guess is they need some type of matchup for LeBron, because think about it. You don't have Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum are too short. Nurkic is too slow. Whoever they get to fill in for Zach Collins is probably the only option other than
correct.
Mello. So we'll see. Do we have Dave yet? I know we were trying to run down Dave McMenamin. We don't have Dave. Okay. Because McMenamin's got a unique perspective on that. He is a giant Mello fan because McMenamin went to Syracuse.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But
by the way, John, the other thing is the Lakers did not shoot well during these seeding games. And we talked to Frank Vogel about it yesterday and talked about sort of the low leverage nature of them and playing with rotations and all that stuff. But KCP was 5 of 18 in the seeding games. Danny Green, 5 of 25. Deion Waiters, 4 of 24. The one guy who had a great, great bubble seeding game stretch was Kuzma, who was 16 of 36 from 3, which I think rounds out to 44%, which is excellent.
Yeah, if he shoots 44%. And, you know, Kuzma played very well in the three games against Portland. He averaged 19.7 rebounds, including he had a 15-rebound game, which tied his career high. But LeBron put up big numbers, AD put up big numbers, and Kuz put up big numbers. The Blazers don't play great defense, but Damian Lillard is the wild card. He's the X factor. And that's the decision that Frank Vogel and his coaching staff have to make. How do you stop the hottest player in the bubble?
Right.
He's got a little Kobe in him. He can just take over a game at any time. So, and the best example of that was in the Kobe Memorial game. The
yep.
first game after the Kobe tragedy, Portland came to Staples Center and Dame scored 48 points. So you've got to kind of, I think they're going to throw different looks at him. I think they're just going to, you know, every time he comes down, I think he might have, I think KCP probably draws the man-to-man assignment, but the Lakers are going to send help every once in a while.
Right. Well, and without question, the Lakers are going to need to shake off some rust. Do you believe in the rust thing? Or do you think that Stephen A., I tend to agree with Stephen A., that Portland, because of the run that they had to make, because they had must-win game after must-win game, I thought they looked gassed at the end of that game on Saturday. In particular, Nurkic, I thought, was just dragging himself up and down the court. So I think that the rest is going to work heavily in the Lakers' favor tonight. By the way, Lakers, do you know the line on the game? You're not gambling, but do you know the line on the game?
I don't. If I had to guess, I would say Lakers by 4.
Lakers -5.5, so you're right there okay. as always. If you ever opened a sports book, you would
yeah.
definitely be able to set lines with the best of them.
you know, and going back to your question about rest versus rust, I've seen it work both ways. The other way, the best example is what happened in the NFL last year.
Yep.
Tennessee had to keep playing. They had to win to get into the playoffs.
Absolutely.
They had to win the wild card game. And then they went into Baltimore, who benched Lamar Jackson in the final week of the season and then had a week off. So really they took two full weeks off, and Tennessee was in a rhythm and just wiped him out.
Yeah, look no further, by the way, than the Washington Nationals, who last year had to play all the way through the tape to get their playoff spot, then had to win a wild card game, and increasingly got hotter as they went along. So, yes, yeah, sometimes playing through the end and having those last games be meaningful, I think, do make a difference. But there's a difference between being tuned up and being worn down, and I thought I saw some breakdowns in terms of the Blazers and the way they were dragging themselves up and down the court in that last game on Saturday, which ultimately they did win.
Right, but it was close, and it was the game against the Nets on Thursday to get to the game on Saturday was close. They almost ran out of gas against the Nets. So the Blazers have had two tough kind of test games. The first one against Brooklyn and the second one against Memphis. They could have lost either one of those.
Yes.
All right,
absolutely.
So you want to take a quick break, and then we'll try and track down McMenamin.
Yeah, I think we've got McTen standing by, so we will get to him. Also got Radio Tinder coming up for you at 2:45. Mason in Ireland. Say again.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, Dave is here. Okay, let's just go straight to Dave. Dave McMenamin joins us now from Orlando. Dave, what's going on, man?
What's going on? Sorry, I might have been in a dead zone.
No, that's okay, Dave. I'm glad we tracked you down. So what do you think the Lakers are going to do defensively against Lillard? They've got options. I think KCP probably draws the assignment, but they're not just going to leave him out there one-on-one all game, are they?
No, certainly not. I mean, you're going to mix it up. KCP, whenever we asked him about Dame, he was quick to bring up CJ also. I don't know whether that was obfuscation or just being like, literally, that's part of our game plan. I'm going to be guarding both these guys. Obviously, Danny Green, he's gotten up in years in this league, but he has great defensive instincts, and he has the type of lateral ability to get in front of a guy and take a charge and try to take away those direct line drives into the paint, which lead out to those spray passes for threes, because they oftentimes have three or four guys on the court that are capable of three-point shooters. And the guy, I mean, it's limited sample size, but the guy on this Lakers roster that's had some success against Dame in the regular season was Alex Caruso. You know, Dame shot his worst percentage, effective field goal-wise, against Alex Caruso, and again, in a limited sample size this season.
What do you think Portland does with LeBron James?
I mean, if you look at their starting lineup, the odds are it's going to be Carmelo Anthony.
Skinny Melo. We call him Skinny Melo now.
Yeah, he looks good out there. I don't know if he looks quite good enough to be able to stop LeBron if he is in playoff form that we're accustomed to in the past. But beyond that, you know, then you got some question marks. I mean, do they go with a guy like Mario Hezonja, had a game-winning block against Carmelo at Madison Square Garden last year when he played for the Knicks and now is a bit player for the Blazers? Do you go with a guy like Zach Collins, who obviously has the height and the muscle mass to deal with LeBron, but you wouldn't think the quickness? As much as people looking at this matchup want to look at it and say that the Blazers are going to exploit the Lakers' defense, I think the same thing could be true about LeBron James exploiting the Blazers' defense.
Dave McMenamin with us from the bubble. Dave, if you go back to 2018 and look at the Pelicans-Blazers series where the Pelicans swept them, Anthony Davis was basically unguardable. And that was a team that had Nurkic and Collins on it. We had Frank Vogel on yesterday. I asked him, did you go back and look at that series? He said, yeah, multiple times. We've looked at it a bunch. What do you think AD can lightning strike twice? Do you think he can do to the Blazers what he did to him 2 years ago?
I think he can be great, but no, I don't, and again, like, who am I to doubt Frank Vogel's scouting principles and the way he spent his time to get ready for this one, but I don't see too much being applicable from that. AD's in a different stage of his career, and quite honestly, Jusuf Nurcic is like on a tear and was waiting for this moment and not thinking he was going to get to play basketball this season perhaps, and has been just tremendous for them. So I wouldn't say that it's going to be replicated based on what we've seen before, but at the same time, I'm not going to say that Anthony Davis isn't going to play great basketball.
Does this feel like a 5-game series, a 6-game series? What does it feel like to you?
I picked 6. I could see it going 7. I think if it goes 7, Lakers fans, you know, may want to wear some gloves so they stop by their nails, because do you want to go against Dame Lillard in a must-win situation right now? I wouldn't. I think he's the most reliable player in the clutch right now in today's NBA. And so if it comes down to one game, and whether, you know, it could be something like foul trouble or turned ankle, and all of a sudden all the work you put in the season has gone away. But I do think the Lakers have had a week to prepare for this opponent, more or less. They're rested, they're healthy, confident. You know, I spoke to Jared Dudley the other day, and he said, hey, like, don't forget, like, we're the number one team in the West. We've had time to prepare for this. We're all down here for a reason. Like, you can talk about other teams, but don't forget about us.
Dave McMenamin is with us. Dave, what do you know about injuries to the Blazers? Obviously, C.J. McCollum is playing with a fractured back, but he looked pretty good against Memphis on Saturday. And we've heard Zach Collins may miss tonight and possibly more. What do you know about Collins and McCollum in terms of injuries?
Right, yes. And I did just mention Collins could be a guy that throw at LeBron, but it won't be in game one. He is out for game one, and you're going to see, you know, them have to go into their bench already. Wayne Gabriel's going to start in place of Zach Collins. And, you know, he's a guy that not really made a name for himself in this league yet. You know, has some athleticism. You know, is able to cover the floor 94 feet. You know, a guy I should mention also is Gary Trent Jr., who was lights out in the seeding round. And that's going to be someone for the Lakers second unit to keep their eyes on and try not to, you know, a recurring thing since LeBron came to the Lakers was first unit would build a lead and second unit lets go of it. Well, the second unit they're faced with, the Blazers, has one of the hotter players of the bubble so far in Gary Trent Jr. And John, I think there was another name you mentioned to me, and I got lost in talking. Who was the other person you asked?
Well,
me
no, I just asked you about McCollum and
McCollum, right, yeah. Right. I mean, McCollum, clearly something's going on here.
Right.
You know, he has that terrible game. It gets leaked out that he has a fracture in his back. He's played really well since then. I'm not suggesting that there isn't a fracture in the back. I'm suggesting there's some sort of treatment here, cortisone shot, steroid shot, whatever it may be,
right.
To alleviate the pain. And obviously, I mean, he was doing his best Dame impression down the stretch in the Memphis game. He was the guy making the biggest shots of the game.
Hey, last night Clippers played the Mavericks, and there was controversy because Kristaps Porzingis was ejected after 2 ticky-tack technical fouls. What's your take on what went on last night?
I mean, I agreed with Rick Carlisle's take afterwards, being like, you know, it's pretty clear if you flail a fist, that's just going to be an automatic technical. They want to take that away, that optics of that from the game. The second technical I didn't agree with, like, he stood up for his guy and he didn't throw a shove. I mean, actually Morris was the one that, to me, initiated the shove. The refs, after a review, said he escalated the situation. I don't agree with that.
Oh,
but I think
please.
Carlisle, being a really smart coach, he said, we're not going to blame the refs for the Porzingis ejection, because that's everyone we're going to talk about. I want to talk about these 11 turnovers that Luka had, and I'm willing to bet that several of them were caused by fouls that weren't called. So, you know, it was kind of gamesmanship by Carlisle, planting a seed on the thing you wouldn't expect him to plant a seed with when talking about the officiating.
Huh. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because I thought, Dave, that, and I've always thought that in the playoffs in particular, if I was an official, and you've played a lot of basketball yourself, a guy would have to put his hands on me before I'd call a technical. I'd let him swear at me. I'd let him call me names. I'd let him swear at the other team. If he gets physical or does something demonstrative, you know, to the other team or to me, maybe I'd tee him up. But I thought both those tees could have been excused, didn't you?
Well, I mean, Carla did make the point that Paul George got a similar technical for a similar action in terms of swinging an arm. Joe Vard, my buddy who writes for The Athletic, pointed out in his column that went up today, interesting observation, Kane Fitzgerald, the referee who ejected Kristaps Porzingis by calling the technical foul, same referee to be the only person in NBA history to eject LeBron James from a game with technical fouls.
Huh. Interesting. Mm. So maybe he's a little tea happy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A little tea happy.
All right. Well, listen, Dave, we appreciate you coming on. Thanks for making time, and hopefully we get to do this again soon.
Yeah, let's do it soon. All right.
Okay.
All right,
cool.
See you, Dave.
Enjoy the game.
There's Dave McMenamin, who will be at that game tonight. What does that feel like to you? That feels like 111-105.
Tonight?
Yep.
I think tonight's a coin flip. I think Portland has to win tonight if they're going to win the series. I think if the Lakers take control of this series and you know, start dominating, that it could be a very quick exit for Portland because of what you said. They're just tired. But if they come in and show that, you know, it's the old rest versus rust thing, that they're a matchup for the Lakers, then it becomes a real – I think this game is more important to Portland than it is to the Lakers, even though I know it only counts as one win for either team. But I still think the Lakers win it. I think LeBron and AD are anxious to play their first playoff game together.
Yeah, I put out on Twitter, give me your prediction for the final score for a Mason and Ireland T-shirt. And the scores are some people have the Lakers scoring as high as 135 points, which I think is more than they're going to score, or which is less. No, that's more than they're going to score, yeah. But everybody's got the Lakers winning, which is good.
Michael says, the great Caruso, he will tame Dame.
Nice. So
Michael is counting on Alex Caruso to tame Damian Lillard today.
Well, take what Dave McMenamin said. Small sample size, but apparently AC has done pretty well against Dame in the past. So maybe we've got a secret weapon there. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. If you are, if you didn't follow us in Afternoon Drive, and several of you didn't, you missed the development of this particular thing, which is called Radio Tinder. Lindsay gives us a topic. We swipe left or swipe right, and there's some off-the-wall stuff in here. Lindsay, what do you got?
Well, speaking of off-the-wall, a Swiss candy company confirmed a malfunction in a factory ventilation system caused cocoa powder to rain down on the surrounding area. Residents of Olten reported spotting snow-like cocoa powder in the air and on the ground near the city's Lint and Springley candy factory.
It's snowing chocolate!
Exactly. So, I guess I was wondering, do you guys have a favorite candy that you would want to rain down from the sky? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right, 100 grand bar, greatest candy bar ever made. They're hard to get, but well worth trying. The 100 grand bar, Mace, the most underrated candy bar in history.
Wait, what is in a 100 grand bar?
What isn't?
Chocolate and Rice Krispies, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, that's all it is?
Yeah. I swipe right. A good shower of Reese's peanut butter cups would satisfy me.
Excellent choice there.
Sorry, not sorry is the slogan for some reason, but peanut butter cups. What about you, Jorge?
Hershey Kisses all day. I just got a bag yesterday.
Really? Party. That's simple, yeah. but hard to argue with.
Nope.
Delicious. Okay. Mine would probably be bottle caps, which is probably the weirdest answer ever for
what is bottle caps?
They're still around?
Yeah, they're delicious. I have to like hunt to find them, but when I find them, I buy as many as I can.
I don't even know if I've ever heard of them.
I've never heard of them. Bottle.
They're kind of. I'll get you guys some. They're kind of like Smarties, but they're not. They're flavored like pop, like soda pop. Like there's like a Coca-Cola orange. Grape.
Oh, you know, I see what you're saying. Like okay, so they taste like soda.
Yeah, they're delicious. Right. I love them. All right, okay, yeah. You guys have to try them.
Okay.
All right, next one. A Chinese restaurant apologized for any offense caused when it placed scales at its entrance and suggested customers weigh themselves to determine what they should order.
Where
I don't know
did
if
they
I'm
do
pronouncing this?
This
right. It was in China. Cheyenne Fried Beef said the scales and menu suggestions were put in place as a response to the president's call for the country to reduce food waste. The move sparked criticism on social media from customers who felt the weight-based initiative encouraged fat shaming. Would you personally be offended by the scale and portion guidelines? Swipe left or swipe right?
Well, I'll swipe left because I'm not fat. But hey, Mace, you and your COVID-19, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to swipe right. The last thing I want right now is to get on a scale in public. That would be a terrible decision on my part.
I still think you should have a weight showdown with Bergman.
Well, he's apparently ahead of me.
He's at 213. What are you at?
No, I'm at 213.
What did he say?
He was at 205.
I will tell him to give you a week.
He's got 8 pounds on me.
Yeah, tell him to give you, you should get a week.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. My entire life went off the rails at some point.
Donuts happened.
Yeah, donuts.
I know what happened. Donuts,
weed. I mean, it just all, it's been one hazy donut dream.
It's the munchies.
It's the munchies, exactly.
Multiple vacations, you know.
Exactly. All right,
Liz. All right. A new public toilet restoration project in Tokyo has resulted in transparent restrooms. Don't worry, they magically block people's view once the door is locked. So the transparent restrooms also function as bright lanterns at night, giving people comfort that there's nobody lurking inside waiting to mug them. Plus, with the transparency, when a person leaves, they should leave them just as clean as when they found them.
Sure.
So I personally avoid public restrooms at all costs. Would you guys be more likely to use these fancy see-through public bathrooms? Swipe left or swipe right?
I don't understand. I think I'm a swipe right, but I don't understand. So you walk in, it's see-through until you lock the door, and then it becomes not see-through?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's fine. It seems like a lot of effort to go to. I never really worry if somebody's in the next can. Do you?
Yeah, you got to go, right?
Yeah, I mean, right. Somebody's in the next can. So what? What are you going to do?
I don't know. I'm one of those people where I will do anything humanly possible to not have to go to a public bathroom. But I guess these could seem more inviting. And apparently a lot of people in Tokyo are complaining about, you know, like the dark, dingy scariness of public bathrooms. I guess it's like a crisis there.
I'll tell you my dingy, dirty bathroom story. So I was when I was in Africa.
At any point of this story, do you employ the phrase "I use a wide stance"?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I do not.
Right, go ahead.
So there I am sitting on the can at the airport in Cairo, and I finish my business and I go to reach for toilet paper and there's none there, and I'm like, oh, what the am I supposed to do? And all of a sudden there is a knock on my bathroom door. My good American friend, would
I
you like to
effect.
Buy some toilet paper?
No way. It was a bait and switch. He took the toilet paper out before you went in.
I had no choice but to buy toilet paper off this guy in the Cairo airport. What a scam. What a scam.
That is classic. That's classic. I love it. All right. Next one here. November's Masters Golf Tournament at Augusta National is going to be held without guests or spectators, making this year's Masters unlike any other. So organizers announced last week that the tournament, which was already postponed, would be held without patrons. Quote, it's going to be surreal, Paul Casey told the Golf Channel. What will the experience be like? It's the one place I truly feel like the players are rock stars, end quote. Tiger Woods also said that he was extremely disappointed, and so did Zach Johnson, who mentioned that the fans specifically in 2007 helped him because of their high energy and That was one where he won his first Masters against Tiger. Wanted to ask you guys, which sport do you think is most impacted by not having fans present?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, that is a good question.
Which sport is most impacted?
I'll tell you, the NBA, I don't think, is it. The NBA has done a really good job. It feels like a real game. The audio feels really good. The fake fans look really good. I don't think it is. I don't think it's the NBA.
It just aesthetically, I think it's baseball.
Yeah, me
it
too. There's so many empty
weird
seats.
To look at all of those empty seats, and there are so many games that you're playing, and it's more cavernous. You know, a baseball stadium.
Oh, sure.
It sounds super empty.
Yeah, it just seems like a different sport. So for me, it's like golf. It doesn't even matter.
That's what I was thinking.
I disagree with those
responses. Yeah.
Yeah. But baseball just does not seem the same to me.
No.
And I think that's the one that at least I noticed the most.
I completely agree. And by the way, you know, I know we've crossed all these positive. I follow this stuff kind of because my mom watches Governor Newsom every day, and I get bits and pieces of this. But apparently we've succeeded in four of the five things we need to succeed in for life to get somewhat back to normal. Deaths are down, hospitalizations are down, all that stuff. Do you think it's possible that we see fans at Dodger Stadium before this year is up?
I do. I think more and more people are realizing that outdoors, in the sun with the wind blowing, is more acceptable for the virus. And I think if you socially distant, like you do every other row maybe or every other section, I think it's possible we could see fans, particularly if these football schools pull it off. If the SEC pulls it off, if the ACC pulls it off, if the Big 12 pulls it off, Mace, and they kind of give us a blueprint for how you put fans back in stadiums and there's not a spike, I think that by the end of September, maybe even for the playoffs, if they don't do a bubble, you'll see fans back in there.
You know, I don't think the SEC, the ACC, and what am I missing? The Big 12?
Yeah.
Are actually going to wind up playing. I don't think
there will be games. I saw Nick Saban on Get Up this morning.
Oh, yeah, me too.
He sure seemed convinced.
No, I mean, I saw Jim Harbaugh really convinced a couple weeks ago about the Big Ten.
Fair point.
You know, the reality is that, for example, ACC, North Carolina, just shut down campus because
Since we've been on the air today, two more major schools have done the same thing.
Oh, really?
Michigan State and Notre Dame have said that at least for now, they don't want kids coming on campus. And we have a neighbor whose daughter was starting her freshman year at Michigan State, and she was leaving next week. Now, today, they just announced you should stay home, which is a little bit of a bait and switch, don't you think? Like, you pay your tuition
and you think you're going to be in
experience,
class. Right.
Right. And now they're saying, no, we don't want you.
Yeah, that is weird. Yeah, North Carolina shut down, as you mentioned. Notre Dame shut down. Michigan State shut down. I just think it's going to be impossible to avoid outbreaks at this point when it comes to college football. And I saw Dabo Swinney say, "Oh, you know, it still counts as a national championship even if everybody doesn't play." No, it doesn't. It doesn't count as a national championship this year.
Well, you know, would you be surprised to learn that in the last. The last eight teams in the Final Four for college football national championships, seven of the eight, came from those three conferences.
But still not representative. Still not representative.
If you have LSU, Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, those are the teams that all end up in the Final Four every year anyway.
Without Ohio State, without any teams from the Pac-12, without...
The Pac-12 has been lousy.
Yeah, but the Pac-12 is due. The Pac-12 is due. Like, for example, this is a year where I would have thought USC would have a decent chance, especially after the cancellation of the Alabama game, of running the table and going to the college football playoff.
Who's the USC coach?
My friend Clay Helton.
Okay. You want to reevaluate that statement?
No, I do not. I do not. I believe in Clay. I'm sticking with Clay now.
Okay.
He's our guy until he's not anymore.
Hey, really quick side note, as far as being outside and whatnot that you were saying, Mace, I got an email from the place that I get my massages from normally, and it said, hey, we're open for business. They are creating or have created outdoor cabanas so
Interesting.
People can get their massages outside. Would you go to that?
Probably not. I don't think I want somebody up in my business.
Well, wait a minute. Don't you go to acupuncture?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm wearing an M95 mask.
Well,
she's wearing an M95 mask.
But that would be the case with a massage also.
Yep.
You would both be wearing masks.
She's wearing one of those face shields, and she's not up in my business. I mean, she sticks a few needles in me and walks away. I just think a massage therapist is right up on you. High risk, okay. I think.
Yeah, it is a little more contact. You're right.
Yeah, it is.
Way more.
yeah. Well, apparently Jorge has found one where he gets way more contact.
Happy ending, Miss.
No.
Congratulations.
Congratulations,
Jorge.
Got this way off track.
Nice to hear.
Oh, boy.
All right, we've got time for one more. I've got one
yeah,
more.
We do.
Yeah,
we
sure.
do.
Why not?
Go ahead.
All right, guys. Instagram is being sued and could face up to $500 billion in fines.
Billion?
Class action, yep, billion, with a B. A class action lawsuit filed alleges that Instagram is routinely harvesting and sharing its users' biometric data without informing them or asking consent. Facebook recently paid $650 million in July to settle a similar case about its misuse of facial recognition data. And a spokesperson for Facebook and Instagram said the suit is, quote, baseless, and that Instagram doesn't use facial recognition technology. Do you believe them? Swipe left or swipe right?
No, I do not believe them. Swipe left. Matter of fact, Lindsay, I'm starting to come around to your way of thinking that technology is figuring out what we're doing at all times.
Lindsay, duh.
Well, no, Lindsay's a total conspiracy. But Lindsay,
yeah.
figure this one out. Okay, so I'm in Idaho at my brother-in-law's house, and I'm in my niece's bathroom, and she's got this shampoo called Nexus, N-E-X-U-S, that I've never used before, but that I kind of liked. I never told anyone about the Nexus shampoo. Didn't even tell Lisa. Never said
it
out loud. You're
just thinking it.
I go back to my computer. There's an ad for Nexus shampoo. How did that happen?
I'm telling you.
But no, I'm serious. How did that happen?
I think some of that stuff is wives' tale stuff.
But
no,
wait a minute.
It's not.
I just told you all the facts. How did that happen? I've never noticed it.
In order for you to be retargeted, and that's what that's called, when you're retargeted, that's why an ad follows you around the internet.
Don't I have to say it out loud to somebody?
You must have searched it.
I didn't. I swear I didn't.
And all of a sudden you started getting ads.
Yeah.
Lindsay, what's your explanation for that? Conspiracy theory person.
They're in my brain. Technology is like sucking stuff out of my brain.
Yep, the facial recognition technology.
Oh, please.
Here's the thing. I do not trust Facebook. I do not trust Instagram.
Yeah, me either.
I do not trust Twitter. I don't trust any of them. I think they're all up to no good, but I use them all. They're all dangerous, but there I am every day on Twitter. Do you have a Twitter handle there, Jorge?
I do, yes.
What
do.
Is it?
It's JabCamp LA at Twitter, I think. I don't know how.
What the hell is it?
You don't have your own.
Man, I don't even know my Twitter handle.
You don't own your own Twitter handle?
I don't tweet.
What kind of account is that?
It's JabCam LA.
That's it.
How do you spell it?
JabCam LA.
Okay.
It's very catchy.
I'll follow you guys.
What does it mean anything?
It's my initials, and then I'm a camera operator in LA.
There you go.
That's it.
Makes sense.
Okay.
My initials, camera operator
in LA.
I just found you.
All right. Coming up next for you, we are getting ready for game one of the NBA playoffs for the Los Angeles Lakers here in 2020. And it is tonight the Portland Trailblazers taking on the Lakers. We've got that game for you. 4 o'clock pregame. We'll walk you right up to that. And then 6 o'clock tip. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.